Do you understand that God will send people in their lives to speak to us? And here's the problem. There's always going to be something wrong with that person. If you look close enough, you can always look at their life and go, well, there's this about them. They're not perfect. If they're not perfect, why should I listen to them? Well, if your criteria for listening to another human is that they be perfect, you realize you're never going to listen to anybody in your life. Guess what you just became? A closed fool. God will send people to us to speak to us that aren't perfect. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. When God sends these people to us to help us, and we don't listen, and we don't respond to the very person that God sends.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. One of David McGee's assisting pastors is here today to help us through this teaching. Pastor Neil, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. Looking forward to getting to the Word today. And this is a good one because this is talking about help. You know, we've got this huge body of Christ, and sometimes we get to be the helpers, and other times God sends people to us for help when we need it.
And now here's David McGee helping us learn verse by verse through 1 Samuel chapter 25.
1 Samuel chapter 25. It's an awesome chapter, and to kind of give you the context, you know, David's on the run from Saul. David has been anointed to be king, but he's not walking in the position of king yet. Saul is still king. Saul's hunting him down, trying to kill him. And in the midst of his wanderings and running from Saul, God continues to do a really awesome and deep work in the heart and in the life of David. And it's an awesome thing to be able to get a glimpse into a man like David, a man that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. And David made some mistakes and whatnot, but the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. So let's jump in. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. It says, then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. Verse 4, when David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thou shalt say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I've heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please get whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each from his own master. Verse 11, shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from? So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. So greet our master. This guy works for Nabal. Okay, and he's going to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and you know, kind of helped oversee the house. And then he goes on, verse 15, says, but the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Verse 17, now therefore, no one consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Verse 20. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down towards her. And she met them. So they're coming down to wipe everybody out. And Abigail, through this whole plan of God, comes and meets them. Verse 21. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I've protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Verse 23. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant." Verse 25. "Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent." Now understand, in Eastern culture, Middle East culture, there's a Eastern hospitality. It was a very serious thing for any stranger to come to your house and say, "Can I have something to eat?" and you turn them away. It's a very serious thing to say, "No, you can't stay here," and on those sorts of things. And as the lady of the house, she took that very seriously. Now, what we're going to see, and I hate to, you know, reveal the plot, but if you've read ahead, Abigail and David end up getting married. Now, we'll see that it's all legit, but it's interesting to me. Notice when David meets Abigail and when Abigail meets David, neither one of them are looking for a spouse. It's something that God does. And if you remember back to the book of Genesis, Adam wasn't looking for a wife. Actually, Adam was at rest when God gave him Eve. If you're in here and you're single, be at rest and let God bring a spouse to you. Because if you go out and you start looking, you're probably going to get in trouble. Let God bring you what's best. Now, his name Nabal meant fool. Even more than that, it meant closed fool. Now, we've spoken a little bit about this word fool in the Hebrew. There's several types of fools in the Hebrew scriptures. And one of them, Nabal, that's one of the worst ones in the sense that he's a closed fool. In other words, he was foolish or ignorant, and he didn't want to know anymore. He didn't want to be taught. He was content being foolish. Now let's understand, the other fool that we see in Hebrew is what's called an open or a teachable fool. In other words, it's someone who doesn't know everything, but they're willing to be taught. They want to discover. They want to learn. And I think that we should be like that as followers of Jesus. We should be like that as people, but especially as followers of Jesus. Why? Because there is so much to learn. There's so much to discover. Proverbs 17:10 says this, "Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool." Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Do you know how revealing it is when you're given instruction or constructive criticism or correction or rebuke? How you respond tells volumes about your heart and your relationship with the Lord. I've been corrected, and people say, "Well, you know what? You shouldn't have done it like that." And I look at it and go, "You know what? You're right. You're right. There's something that I can learn from that." And so I am a teachable fool, if you will. And I think that, you know, the moment we think that we've arrived, we're in a dangerous place. That's one of the cool things about studying the Bible. You know, you're never going to understand everything about this book. There's always going to be something else that you can learn, something else that you can be taught. The life lesson here, a wise person takes correction well and without excuses. A wise person takes correction well and without excuses. See, when somebody goes to correct you, and then you go tell them why it is that you did it, you're not receiving the correction. Verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm from my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present, which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days." Again, what an awesome woman. She's apologizing for something her husband did without going back and pointing out that it was totally his fault. It's a godly woman. Godly woman.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you're not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 29 is an interesting verse. "Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life. But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling." And she's saying a lot of stuff in here. She's aware of what's going on. Saul, she's alluding to the fact that Saul is chasing David. She also mentions the sling. Not only does she know David's present situation, she's also aware of David's history. Talking about the enemies will be as the sling. Notice, "The life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God." Valuables of that day were kept in a bundle. That shepherds or nomads, as you travel, you would keep the very valuable things in this little bundle. And here it says, the Lord your God is going to keep you in a little bundle. You understand what that means? The Lord considers you to be something very precious to Him. Very precious indeed. So much that He wants to take care of you and place you in that bundle. The whole concept, when you throw a word around, sanctification, what that means is that we're living more and more for the Lord. We're acting, we're walking, we're talking more and more like Jesus. But somehow we've gotten that word twisted. There's a little Hebrew word picture that it's as if a woman is cleaning up a jewel to show it to somebody else. Sanctification is not so you can look down at your nose at somebody else and go, "Well, I used to struggle with that." But so that you might glorify God in your life. And God wants to polish you up. So you can glorify Him in your life, to put you in that bundle. Matter of fact, there's an interesting word used in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:10 says, "You are His workmanship." Comes right after Ephesians 2:8 now, and talking about, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, as the gift of God, lest anybody should boast." Meaning, grace is God's unmerited favor towards us, in that while we ask forgiveness for sins, we're given forgiveness of sins. Why? Because we earned it? No, because it's a grace thing. He's willing to bestow that forgiveness on us. And then Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Him for good works." Created to do things like loving each other and serving one another. And that word workmanship in the Greek is poema. God says, "You're my poem. You're my poem that I want the world to read, so that they can know." You might have been called a lot of things this week, but God calls you His poem. His poem. And He's like, "Hey, check this out. Check this poem out. Look how beautiful this is. This life that was totally in disorder and messed up before. Read this poem. Isn't it beautiful?" Wow. You can either be bundled in this bundle and taken care of, or you can be a rock in a sling. David's carefully bundled in this bundle. Nabal is going to be this stone. Verse 30. And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Again, we see Abigail is just filled with wisdom, filled with wisdom. And the scripture points out she's a beautiful woman and she's filled with wisdom. And again, she's not sitting here complaining about Nabal or you know, oh, it's been so hard. You just can't imagine what a jerk Nabal is. Let me tell you about Nabal. She's not doing any of that. And not only is she not doing that, but she's now encouraging David not to do that. Because David could take this offense with him. David could walk away from this situation and go, okay, you know what? I walk away today, but that Nabal, he's mine. He's going down one day. When I become king, he's out of here. And Abigail's saying, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Don't keep a record of wrongdoing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the second part of it, says love is not irritable and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It's pretty convicting, isn't it? Keeps no record. It's an interesting thing when you're in a discussion with somebody or an argument with somebody, how quickly we pull up the past. Oh yeah, what about the time you such and such and so and so? You know, and if you love each other and you've known each other long enough, man, you can go back like 15, 20 years. And you know, you always have that ace in the hole that you have on somebody. And if all else fails during that discussion, you can, well, what about when you did this? Why do we carry those cards around? When Jesus said, don't do it. Well, I'm just keeping them for safety's sake. You never know when you might need it. I'm talking about your relationships with friends, with spouses, with your children, with your parents. Why are you carrying the deck around? Let it go. Because here's what happens. You carry that deck around long enough, you're going to become embittered. You're going to become bitter. You're going to become cynical. You're going to become hard-hearted. And if you carry the deck around, sooner or later, you're going to play those cards. Peter, interestingly enough, he comes to Jesus. And he's the thought of the day is that if somebody messed up three times, you would forgive them three times. After that, no more. You wouldn't forgive them any more than that. Three times, that was it. Peter comes up to Jesus in Matthew 18. And Peter's going to really stretch the boundaries. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Peter's looking really good. He's looking really gracious. I mean, it's not three, it's seven. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, 490. Now, is Jesus talking about you need to get a notebook? And when somebody messes with you, you write it down. Okay, all right. You know, and then at some point in your life, you go, whoop, 491. No more forgiveness. I'm out of here. No, the number seven, Shiva, it just goes on and on, really. Seven is a number of eternity. Jesus is saying, don't keep record of it. Let it go. Here's the challenging thing. Who in this room has let go of everything? I'm not sure anybody in here can say that. We walked in here carrying this stuff. Keep it with us all the time. You carry it around, sometimes like a trophy. Wearing it like a name badge. I'm such and such and so, and this is what has happened in my life where somebody hurt me and I've been wounded and I'll, you know, if anybody asks me how I'm doing, I'll relive it in a heartbeat. I've met people like that. How you doing? How am I doing? Let me tell you how I'm doing. And they jump back 15 years ago and all of a sudden, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Why are you carrying that stuff with you? When Jesus said to put it down. I think this was in part what Jesus was talking about when he said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Quit carrying that stuff around. You're not designed to carry it. You're not built to carry that stuff. And yet we still carry it around. If you can grab a hold of this tonight, you can be set free of a lot of stuff. Now maybe you're sitting there and you're going, you know what? It's just too fresh, Pastor. It's too fresh. Just happened yesterday. Just happened last week. I can't let go of it. God is a supernatural God. And God will give you the ability and the strength to let go and forgive people. But it is a decision of your will. A lot of times we go, well, I don't feel like forgiving them. You think Jesus felt like going to the cross? Friend, he didn't. But he did it anyway. It was an act of will. And in forgiving people, I've had people that have wounded me that, before I felt like forgiving them, I took an act of will and I said, God, I forgive them. I don't feel like forgiving them. But I forgive them and let it go. And God honors that. That mustard seed faith of being willing to forgive somebody. God will hear that. In verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Look at that. He doesn't say, oh, you're just a woman. What do you know? He says, blessed is your advice. Verse 34, for indeed as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to me to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left in the ball. You understand that there was probably a fleeting moment in time with David in this exchange where he probably did look at Abigail and thought, well, you married this guy. What can you know? I mean, obviously, you know, something's gone wrong in your life that your husband isn't a ball. So I'm not going to listen to you. You're not making any sense. Do you understand that God will send people in their lives to speak to us? And here's the problem. There's always going to be something wrong with that person. If you look close enough, you can always look at their life and go, well, there's this about them. They're not perfect. If they're not perfect, why should I listen to them? Well, if your criteria for listening to another human is that they be perfect, you realize you're never going to listen to anybody in your life. Guess what you just became? The closed fool. God will send people to us to speak to us that aren't perfect. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. When God sends these people to us to help us, and we don't listen, and we don't respond to the very person that God sends. Now, you know what's amazing about humanity and human beings? When I just said that, most people in the room just remembered one time when they tried to help somebody and they didn't listen. Instead of remembering sometime when somebody came to you to help you, and you didn't listen. The life lesson here, God will send people into our lives to help us. God will send people into our lives to help us. My whole heart is to help people and to love people and to teach them the Word of God. Occasionally, I may say something that really convicts you or convinces you of wrongdoing. And I do that in love. I don't do that to hammer you or to yell at anybody or anything. But I'm convinced that God somehow, through some cosmic humor or something, has sent me to this place for this season to be here to speak these things. Whether you listen, friend, well, that's up to you. But I do know that God sent me to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, but remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. God will send an Abigail into your life going, don't do this. But will you listen?
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.